I want to ask you what you believe. I want to ask it rhetorically, so I don't particularly expect you to be answering for me. But there are five things I want you to know. I want to know about what you believe, or I want you to know about what you believe. And then there is the nature of belief I want to ask you about. I want you to show me your belief in these five things. Do you believe? Do you believe in the scriptures? Do you believe in both the Old Testament and the New Testament? Do you believe that the scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation in Christ Jesus? Do you believe that the scriptures are the inspired word of God, breathed out by God himself, so that they are indeed the very words of God? Do you believe that these scriptures are able to equip you, the man of God, equip you fully equip you for every good work that God has prepared for you to walk in? Do you believe that God's inspired scriptures are all that you need to have as the man of God for salvation in Christ Jesus and for life as a Christian leader? So do you believe in the scriptures? Secondly, do you believe in God? Do you believe that God is the creator and ruler of the universe? That he is the creator and the ruler of you? He is the one to whom all people are answerable. He is the one to whom you are answerable. Do you believe in God as the one by whom we all exist and the one for whom we all exist? Do you believe that by God you exist and that you have been made for him? Do you believe in God that God is present here now with us? Do you believe that you are in his presence and that there are no secrets of your heart that are hidden from him? Do you believe that he will judge every idle word, for he hears every utterance of our mouth and knows every thought of our heart? Do you believe that you are in the very presence of God, the creator and ruler of the universe? And do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King? Do you believe he is the Son of Man, come in the clouds to the Ancient of Days, that all authority and glory and honour and power have been given to him to rule over all nations for all times? Do you believe that he has died for our sins, in our place, turning aside the wrath of God from us? Do you believe that his was the sacrifice, the full, perfect, sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world? Do you believe that Jesus has died for us? And do you believe that he has risen from the dead, risen to now sit at the right hand of God, in all power and authority, as the Son of God, as the Son of Man? And do you believe that he will come again to judge both the living and the dead? He will come as the judge of the end time, both for this lifetime and for the life to come, and that he will bring an end to all things and have a new creation and a new heavens and a new earth. And do you believe that some will be raised on that time to life and others will be raised to condemnation? That is, do you believe in his coming, his appearance, his return? Do you believe he will bring with him those who have died with him, and that there will be a resurrection of the bodies of all those who trust in him? And do you believe that his coming is delayed so as to give people time to repent? That he is not slow about his return, he is not forgetting to return, it is not a myth that he is going to return, but that he is going to return, yet he is delaying so as to give the opportunity for people to repent? Do you believe in his coming in kingly glory, reigning now and displaying his reign, demonstrating his reign then when he returns? Do you believe in Jesus? So, first question, do you believe in the scriptures? Second, do you believe in God? Third, do you believe in Jesus? And then fourthly, do you believe in preaching? that is preaching the word of God. For this word of God is active, living, dynamic. The word of God that divides the spirit from the soul, from the heart, from the mind, that this word of God by which God has created the heavens and the earth, the powerful word of God, that not only created the universe, but has destroyed the universe in the flood. This word of God that promises again that the world will be destroyed and there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. Do you believe in preaching the word of God, which is the power of God for salvation for all people, for the Greek and also for the Jew first and also for the Greek? Do you believe in the preaching of this word of God, which is at work in believers, transforming us, changing us, at work in us? Do you believe in preaching the word of God because it is a word that is taught, and is to be taught patiently and carefully and faithfully and courageously as you rebuke, as you correct, as you train, as you encourage? Do you believe in teaching, preaching the word of God? And fifthly, do you believe that the times are evil? Do you believe that we've come to the end times in their fullness of evil, where people love false teachers rather than the truth, where people are turning from the truth to lies, and where false teachers are out peddling myths and lies and legends, and people in their sinfulness, both inside the church and outside the church, are preferring the lies of the false teachers to the truth of God's word? That the father of lies, Satan himself, who leads people astray to death, for he is not only a liar but a murderer, is at work in the mouths and minds of false teachers, leading astray many people, so that we do not live in an age of truth, but in evil days, corrupt days, dysfunctional societies? Do you believe that is the time that we're in? The time of the delay of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to offer opportunities for repentance, or the time in which false teaching abounds, though we have the opportunity of preaching the truth? Do you believe in the times? Well, there's five basic Christian truths that I ask you about your belief. Do you believe in the scriptures? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the preaching of the word of God? Do you believe in the evilness of the times that we live in? If you do, then I want you to show me your belief. Let me see it. For people who say they believe something and do nothing about it do not believe, but are self-deceived. True belief issues forth in appropriate action. That is why we must be doers of the word, not hearers only. For hearers of the word who are hearers only deceive themselves, says the Apostle James. It's not just that you deceive others, you may or may not deceive others, but you deceive yourself. And that has got to be the most profound of all foolishness, to deceive yourself. But to say, yes, I believe, but to do nothing, is self-deception. For to believe always means action. So if I was to ask you to show me your faith, there's only one way you can show me your faith. It is by action. James 2:18, someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Faith without deeds is a nonsense. It's death itself. Faith that is true faith, that is living faith, that is real faith, means that you will do something about it. Okay? How do you show that you believe the scriptures? How do you show that you believe God? How do you show that you believe Jesus? How do you show that you believe in the preaching of the Word of God? How do you show that you believe these times are evil? What is the appropriate action for such a set of beliefs? Come with me to 2 Timothy. For we've been there all along. Chapter 3 and verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you have learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. How is Timothy to demonstrate that he believes in the presence of God? He believes in the inspiration and authority of the scriptures and their usefulness for salvation and for equipping in righteousness and equipping in every good work. How is he to demonstrate his belief not only in God but in the Lord Jesus Christ, who judges the living and the dead, and in his kingdom and in his appearing? How is he to demonstrate his belief in this powerful word of God that can so transform the lives of people? How is he to believe in show his belief in the fact that the times are evil? Well, he is to continue in what he has learnt and been convinced of. He is to preach the word in season and out of season, for there is no suitable season now for preaching the word, whether it's convenient to him or not convenient to him. Now is the time for the preaching of the word of God. And he is to keep his head, for the days are not easy days in which to labour. They are hard days, and that's why he must endure hardship and keep his head in all situations. And he's got to go back to doing the very work of the evangelist in the proclamation of the gospel, and he's got to finish the charge that has been given to him. If Timothy does these things, then you will know that Timothy believes these things. But if Timothy can be charged by God through the Apostle Paul to be preaching the word and yet refuses to do so, then it's because he doesn't believe the word is going to change the life of people. He doesn't believe that the word is going to bring salvation to people. He doesn't believe that God is going to hold him to answer for the charge that has come his way. He doesn't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to judge the living and the dead. If we can be totally unconcerned about the people around about us hearing of the salvation that Jesus Christ has won for mankind, it's because we don't believe that Jesus Christ has won the salvation for mankind. We do not believe that people are going to be held accountable for their life. We do not believe that our speaking to them is going to make any change to their life. What we do demonstrates what we believe. We say we believe in the scriptures and in God and in Jesus and in the preaching of the word and that the times are evil, but saying we believe it is an irrelevance. It could even be a total self-deception. If that is what we really believed, what are we doing about it? And what are we going to do about it? You believe all this? Good. Now what are you going to do? live happy, professional, suburban, materialistic, patriotic, kind of hedonistic, moral, graduate lifestyle? Are you going off into suburban ticky-tacky to build your little house and have your little garden, your little plot down in the community plot, drive your car out on Saturdays to see your children play sport and on Sundays to be involved in Sunday school? Are you going to be flipping around the country on aeroplanes, being important business persons, making trade and developing the British economy around the world? Are you going to be travelling down to the city each week, each day in the tubes there, reading your Times and working hard and becoming important in the community around about you and going home to look after the little wife and the kids? And are you going to have your two dogs and 2.1 children? Are you going to have your second car and your overseas trip? Or what is it that you are going to do in the light of your beliefs? Are you going to live that kind of lifestyle while millions of Britons reject Christ? While Europeans ignore Christ and or have no opportunity of ever hearing about him because the gospel has been so ground out of their community by Roman Catholicism or by communism or by socialism? Or by the Enlightenment, or by sheer materialistic hedonism. It is on your doorstep. You as a nation have left your Commonwealth behind in order to get into bed with them. Are you now just going to enjoy the material prosperity of a bigger Europe and ignore the spiritual blindness, the death, the lack of Christian fellowship that is all over the hundreds of millions of people who are living right next door to you? What are you going to do with millions of the citizens of the world who do not have the scriptures or the opportunities of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ presented to them? Are you going to believe that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead, that you have the word of God that brings life? Are you going to believe that God is the ruler of the world to whom you are going to give answer? Do you really believe that by the scriptures people can come to faith in Jesus Christ? Do you really believe in all that and yet you're going to live in suburban ticky-tacky? You're going to follow your careers as doctor, lawyer, dentist, as financier, as accountant, as... Is that what life is about? If you believe in these things of the gospel, then you will live and die for the things of the gospel. For Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's what Jesus demanded. Do you think somehow that demand is lesser today? If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must make sure he gets a good three-bedroom house with mortgage overdraft, a good job, solid education, and the opportunity of putting his children into private schools. Is that now the new requirements of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there been a shift that kind of was missed out because we left out the 67th book of the Bible? If we really believe what we say we believe, then let us show it. There was a girl in our church, one of our churches. Who I met up with. And I want to pause the tape. What are the choices you make? On the way here, I called in and saw my friend Leon. Leon's a Roman Catholic. Comes from a fiercely Roman Catholic family. He's a Slovenian. His parents left Slovenia when it was called Yugoslavia. They left out of political persecution because Tito was a communist and they were fierce Roman Catholics. They fled to Australia, a land of freedom, a land where they could practice their Catholicism without fear of persecution. They raised their boys and Leon, the smartest of them, comes to the University of New South Wales where his friends invite him along to Bible study. He comes to here and for 6 months or a year, every Friday night, well, that's when we used to run church in those days, every Friday night after I preached, Leon would turn up at supper and harass me with questions. I mean, he listened to the sermons. He was there in church. It wasn't just he turned up at that point, but I knew if Leon was in the congregation, I knew I was in for a tough time that night. Because Leon knew that the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ meant that he would have to leave Rome. But to leave Rome was to betray his family and everything his family had lived and sacrificed for. But the truth is in the Word of God. And for him there was ultimately no choice but to commit his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you don't do that and then go on as a happy electrical engineer making money in wealthy Australia. No. Leon has returned to the home country his parents fled from in order to preach the gospel. That makes sense, doesn't it? For the very thing that he knew he needed to be freed from, he knew his fellow countrymen need to be freed from. And who better than the person who speaks the language and who knows the cost of making such change? And so he has started the university work again for IFES, which hasn't been in existence for years, in Ljubljana, in Slovenia. There are hardly any Christians in Slovenia. They speak perfect English in Slovenia. I didn't meet any English missionaries in Slovenia. It's only an hour's plane flight from England to Slovenia. There may well be there. I just say I didn't meet any, though I saw two Australian families in Slovenia preaching the gospel to a nation that is 99% Catholic. Richard, and this is a hard one for those of us who are not in this culture, but those of us who are will understand it only too well. Richard was the only son of Chinese Singaporean parents. They were middle class parents. They wanted best for their son. So they migrated out of Singapore into Australia for the sake of their son. The only place they could be in Australia was a very working class suburb, one of the more unpleasant suburbs of Sydney. But they did it for their son. They wanted their best for their son, and they encouraged him and pushed him in every way that would be for his benefit, so that he became one of the very few students from that local high school to ever have been selected to do medicine at a university. But he did. And he passed through medicine without failing. But his problem was that in late high school he was converted to Christ. And though his parents' dream and hope and aspiration for him that comes out of the kind of security, prestige and safety of being a doctor in the Australian economic environment, he couldn't as a Christian see that that is what his life should be for. So he suggested to them that he wanted to give up medicine to go into ministry. They insisted that he finish medicine. So he finished a course that he really wasn't interested in doing. But out of obligation and honouring of his parents, he did that which was required, finished medicine, and then finished a year's registration, and has never practised a day since. That's a hard choice, isn't it? To know that your parents have sacrificed their whole life for you to be a doctor, and to turn around when you've achieved what they've wanted and give it all away to become an evangelist. But that is what he has done. He's gone down to an industrial city, a steel city called Wollongong, and started a student ministry at the University of Wollongong down there that has several hundred coming to it, many converted. So exciting ministry is taking place in the steel town of Wollongong through this man who really believes that the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge of the living and the dead, who really believes that preaching the word of God transforms lives, who really believes that he's answerable to God who rules the universe, who really believes in the scriptures being inspired by God and powerful for salvation, who really believes that the days are too evil to allow us to just go on. I know he really believes, because look how he lives. Anne Askew was 23 years old when she was held prisoner for believing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of Henry VIII. She refused to repent of her belief in the gospel, even though they put her on the rack and stretched her body out of shape. Even though they condemned her to death, she still professed the Lord Jesus Christ. By the time they took her to the funeral pyre to burn her to death, her body had been so stretched she was unable to walk, and so they had to carry her. The executioner had mercy upon her and tied a bag of gunpowder around her neck so as to blow her head off and shorten the time of her pain. She believes, didn't she? You don't do that if you don't believe, do you? If you really believe, well, then you do that kind of thing. You really believe? Jesus said, if anyone wants me to be a disciple, he must hate his mother, brother, father, sister, why, his own life. He said, if anyone wants to be a disciple, he must say no to self, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus is only saying what James is saying. If you really believe, you will do it. We've got to stop playing Christian and wonder why our community is going less and less to church, with fewer and fewer people acknowledging Jesus. We've got to stop playing Christian and wonder why so many middle-aged people who were in the Christian Union when they were young and involved in things are now kind of not as active as they used to be. We've got to stop playing. If it's not true, forget it. If it is true, then lay down your life for it. If yours are the gifts of public ministry, then stop fiddling around with the other things of life as if they could somehow be of any significance for people who believe in the age to come. Would you like me to pray and we go to lunch? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, that you did not count equality with God something to grasp at or be grasped, but that he gave himself, that he became a man, and not but a man but a servant, and not but a servant but a sacrifice for the sins of the world. We thank you, Father, because by his death we are forgiven. By his death we can call you Father. By his death we are saved. So we thank you, Father, for this sacrifice which he sets before us as a model for our lives. And we, Father, pray that you would so put your Spirit in our hearts and minds that we would not only receive the Lord Jesus Christ in his death for our sins, but receive his Spirit, that Spirit of sonship that submitted his will to your will, that was willing to die for other people's salvation, that we might have that mind that Christ had, that saw your glory and other people's salvation as of such importance as to be willing to sacrifice everything and anything to that end. Father, you know the wonderful attractions of this life, the things that are neither wrong nor harmful in themselves that you have created for us to enjoy. And yet, Father, we pray that you would make us such men and women of the death and resurrection of Jesus, that we may be such citizens of the kingdom of heaven, that we would so live in this lifetime that we would bring glory to you and salvation to others, just as your Son has done, that we would seek your glory and the good of everybody, that they may be saved and so imitate your Son. Remove from us, Father, the idols of this world, the attractions and the pleasures, the joys and the happinesses with which we can be so full that we fail to live for you. And enable us by your Spirit to say no to self and to take up our cross and to follow your Son, that we may bring salvation to many and glory to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.